This is the Roaring Elephant Podcast, and here I am with my ever so slightly greying co-host, Jon.
Yeah, I mean, I was told that with grey hair came respect and things like that, but in the immortal words of Meatloaf, life is a lemon and I want my money back.
I was going to say, not on this podcast.
Wait, my dear, yeah. I see the greying at your temples happening.
Oh, yes, I definitely am exhibiting quite a swathe of grey myself. And this would make sense, as we have both been in the world of open source for, let's say, a little while. For me, it's definitely well over... yes. Let's say definitely well over two decades and leave it at that.
Yeah, let's say a couple of decades and that's good enough. But are you insinuating that open source is making us gray?
That's an interesting question, isn't it?
It's not what we're going to talk about, but...
All I can say is, like, didn't always do things that were in open source, and back then I definitely didn't have any gray hair, and been doing open source things for a long time, and now I have quite a bit of grey hair, so please, draw your own conclusions, I guess.
Nah, it doesn't work, because when I started in open source, that was the days when you had a new Linux distribution that came with the magazine subscription you paid for monthly on a little floppy disk, and I remember tearing my hair out, so I didn't have a chance to get white at that time. the good old days.
indeed. Well, this somewhat strange offshoot of a conversation is inspired by an LREG, yes, the Register, that bastion of obviously fabulous journalistic wonderfulness.
We keep going back to it, so.
Yeah. I mean, they're saying things that... I think resonate with us for what it's worth. But yeah, there was an article, when was this? I suppose about a month or so ago, a couple of weeks ago, something like that, around the title is The Graying Open Source Community Needs Fresh Blood. And just before we started this, we figured actually this is probably something we could talk about on a wider basis. But there's a few sort of kind of pieces of this that I think come together. On the one hand, open source seems to be everywhere and in every sort of area of exciting stuff that's going on. So you would have thought surely that would mean it would be attracting lots of new hungry talent to dive in and get involved. But doesn't seem to be the case, and I think this particular article has a particular focus, which I think it's great, it's fine. They're trying to specifically tell a story, but there are certain projects, and we've touched on this many times throughout the course of this podcast, which I guess is also a project, where there are a lot of projects out there with either relatively steady state communities of people that have been doing those things for a very long time, or indeed dwindling communities of, again, like a slowly reducing population, again mostly of people that have been doing things for a very long time. And it's one thing to talk about all of the fancy schmancy new exciting stuff that's popping up here and there, but there's also a lot of stuff that's just fundamental basic infrastructure that just needs continual updates, continual tweaks, continual bug fixes, and like this is complex stuff in a lot of cases, and it's in a lot of cases quite difficult to kind of break into initially. Again, another topic we've talked about multiple times, but it's not terribly surprising to me that observations of several people are that the people that are active in the open source community are continuing to increase in age, and there's not so much of an influx of newer folks into the ecosystem.
Yeah, I mean, yes, open source is everywhere. Open source usage is everywhere.
Mm.
Open source development is just as rare as it ever was. And there's a couple of reasons why it's this way, I think. And again, as you said, the article has a certain storyline. Read the article. We're not here to rehash the article. We're giving our own. Mm. The title struck a nerve, and I just want to talk about the whole concept there. But, I mean, it's just how the times have changed. And there's a number of different things that kind of, made this happen. I think one thing is boredom.
Mm.
When I was young, we had TV, which was crappy at best. That got worse over time, but anyway. But social media stuff didn't exist. I mean, the internet didn't exist. As I mentioned earlier, I got my first CDs of Mandrake Linux pasted, glued to a magazine subscription that was pushed into the letterbox. First, the mailman rolled it up nicely and then pushed it through. So always fun. But people kind of had more time on their hands. If you had an interest, a hobby, open source was kind of a hobby that you could do.
Mm.
And hobbies are a young man's, a young person's, a young woman's thing. And once you are married and you have kids, you have other things that you could call a hobby. Oh, please don't. But typically, a lot of young people are doing so open source because you had a course at school about computers, science, and things like that. So you had to play around with it. You had these magazines. And little small communities happened, and young people were attracted to that. If you compare it with today, there's so many things that are competing for your attention.
Yeah.
And I mean, if I look at myself, my day is full and busy all day long. At the end of the day, I often wonder, but what did I actually do today?
Mm.
Apparently I learned stuff? I don't know. So that for me is one reason that things have changed. Do you want to respond or can I go to the next one?
No, I very strongly agree with everything you've said so far.
Okay, next one is open source is serious business.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer a hobby, it's actually a job.
Yeah.
And totally in the opposite of what I just said, jobs are for adults. Not for young people, because if you want to spend time on a second job, you need to have a primary job that pays all the bills. So if you're young, you're coming out of school today, and you want to make a career, make things happen, you really don't have time to spend on this open source hobby. Now, I don't actually think that's a good thing or even true, because although that's a question I have, to be honest. In the olden days, having some kind of open source credentials, being able to say, I worked on this thing, I had that thing. We didn't have GitHub then, but you were still able to, on mailing lists and so on, make some kind of reputation for yourself. And I do know a lot of people that went far in the whole development, software development careers and hired and more than that, did that because they were able to prove, hey, I know what I'm doing. I made this stuff. That is still a possibility today. But I don't see people using this anymore in that way. And for me, the reason for that would be, and again, this is a guesstimation on my part, that software development has kind of lost its hero status. Being able to write a program before was kind of something, that's a smart guy, he's a smart person, he can do something that I can't do. Today, it's much more if you can talk about building a program, that's much more, wow, he's a business person, than actually writing the program. So where people before actually did the thing to show they could do the thing, today, in my experience, and again, this is me jaded with decades of crap on my history, I see a lot more respect going to people that only talk about doing it. And now that's also a necessary thing. People also need to do some marketing, community work, name it what you want to. We had some episodes about communities, developer communities earlier. So it's definitely a place for that too. But it's very much skewing entirely towards that part and a lot less on actually doing stuff. Because I see a lot more meetups where people talk about things that could be done and very little about I mean, compared to the conventions, the DataWorks Summit is one that we went to a lot, so that's the one I always have in mind. The first ones, you went there to listen to the people writing the code, explaining on how they wrote the code and what the pitfalls were and things like that. You go to a convention today, it's marketing. You hear people talk about this product that exists that potentially can do all these beautiful things, but they didn't make it, they didn't write it, they're just talking about how you can use it. And that's a whole shift, again, that I think doesn't attract young people to actually start writing code, which, as you said, is hard to get into, but it always has been. I mean, it's never been easy to join an open source project.
Yeah, I don't know that I agree with all of that. I do think that there is an element of truth in that perhaps some of the shine or some of the prestige, or call it whatever you want, of development, software engineering as a whole, has probably shifted away. I can definitely see that in some cases being a case. I don't know that in my experience I see a lot more talking about stuff versus actually having done the thing and then talking about it. I don't see that from
you
what
see me? I used to be a developer. I'm just talking about stuff that was developed because to be honest, developer pay sucks.
Yeah, well, there's no argument on that. But I think that regardless of the reasoning behind it, this is not something new, is kind of my sort of conclusion on this. Like the phrase they use, the graying of sort of open source contributions, I think has been happening for quite some time. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, but I think it accelerated.
Yeah, I can see that. But I don't really think that there's been that much of a drastic shift over, let's say, the last, I don't know, 5 years or something like that. I think this has been a continually growing problem.
Again, I think with the importance of the internet, once we stopped calling it the World Wide Web, but started calling it the Internet and Web 2.0 and things like that, I mean, that's when marketing kind of overtook the technology, it accelerated. And that, I think, is about 10 years ago, something like that. And obviously, this is generational. It takes time for the effects to be felt.
Yeah.
And once you feel them, it's hard to draw them back, obviously.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there has been a point in time where it just changed, where it was no longer a hip thing to do. I don't know what the correct word to use there is, but when young people are no longer attracted to it anymore. And there are exceptions, of course. There's still young people that are doing amazing stuff. This is all generalizations, obviously. But, I do think things have changed, and it's not getting any better. How could it become any better? How could it get better? What could happen to make this? Because again, having young people in open source is a good thing. And not only because old people like me, we're set in our ways and we aren't thinking flexible anymore. Just joking, but it's true. It's just part of getting older. So having younger people in there it's essential to keep this whole thing running and not be totally commercialized in the end. But how can you do it? You know, the Linux Foundation has a couple of mentoring programs that they try to get to make it easier for people to hop into. But apparently, at least according to this article, that isn't enough.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think we covered it on the podcast, but throughout this past year and the tail end of last year, a number of fairly high-profile kind of intern-type programs or sponsorship-type programs or those sorts of things did actually end up either closing down or announcing that, you know, they were in their final kind of phases with their, you know, working with their final sort of either cohort or sets of cohorts and were kind of wrapping up. Like, there is definitely, I'm trying to think now, I think there were about four or five generally very well-known programs out there, some in the US, some across Europe, that, you know, announced that the funding is no longer there, the sponsorship is no longer there for them to continue doing this in this way. And I think it's those kind of programs are a great way to get young folks into open source. And it's a real shame that for the most part they are sponsored by large corporations, and we've seen, you know, belts tightening and budgets shrinking across, you know, a whole bunch of different areas, and this is just yet another area that's been kind of impacted by some of these cuts.
Yeah, another thing might also be that in the last couple of decades, you also see a lot more collaboration between higher education institutions and commercials, where the business already hires the student to start work on a project for them, and then the university, whatever, I'm not sure where the money goes, but that's not my problem. Mm. But in these circumstances, obviously, it also means that the student doesn't have to go to anything open sourcey to get his credentials or get the experience or whatever. They actually get picked up out of school immediately. So that's a whole brain drain, right? The shortage, the chase on talent, the just finding good people is such a hard thing to do. And yeah, if you pick up the young people, and I'm assuming they'll pick up the high performing ones, which I would assume is the way it works, that will automatically have an effect on how many talent is still available for a hobby, air quotes here, projects in open source. So that could also have had quite a big influence.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because this has been, at least in my opinion, like a trend going on for a long time, it's quite difficult to reverse things like this. There's definitely no easy silver bullet for this. This is going to take... no pun intended. This is definitely one of those things that's going to take concerted effort over a pretty significant amount of time. And I don't, you know, I've joked multiple times on this podcast about me being world's worst developer. I know a lot of developers, but I have relatively little kind of insight into that, deep insight, I would say, into that world as it exists today. But that insight that I do have doesn't give me any kind of clear indications as to what we could do to turn this around in a very meaningful way anytime soon. Like, there are lots of small things that over time might slow it down, but I genuinely can't think of anything that would actually help to seriously reverse the trend at the moment.
Yeah, same here. For me, I think it's going to be like an economical wave where it just disappears. It gets worse until open source effectively becomes non-existent. And then we're back to where we were 40 years ago when people started rebelling, if I can use a bit of a charge word, against proprietary software. And a new open source movement might get started again. I mean, at some point, Linux will become a commercial entity. I mean, it's not a question of if, but it's going to happen at some point, because that team is also graying and will at some point disappear. And what will happen when Linus Torvalds disappears? Yes, there's a foundation around it, but it's almost inevitable, I think, that it will become commercial as well at some point, at which time somebody else will maybe stand up and make a new, whatever they call it, to replace that thing, to again have an open source movement happening. It's going to be past my sell by date, but
I don't know. I do not know. All I know is that it's a tough situation and there are no easy answers. And if you have any suggestions out there, please reach out, let us know, put a message in the comments or drop us an email with your thoughts on this one, because this is not, frankly, not something I see changing anytime soon, unfortunately.
Well, and on that very, very sad note, unless you have anything to say to me. No.
I don't think so.
Then that is all the sad time we have for today. You can still help support this podcast. We at least try to voice a little bit positive stuff about open source usually. So today's a bit of an exception there, but it needs to be said as well, I guess. Mm. You can support this podcast, become a patron, does help us keep us in the air. We're on YouTube, you can see us there in all of video glory. And you can go to our website at www.roaringoff.org. There's links there to the Patreon page, YouTube page, and more information about the podcast. If you have anything to say about the subject yourself, please send an email to podcast@roaringoff.org. I am actually interested to see what our listeners are. We have some idea about the demographic of the people listening to the Roaring Elephant podcast. So I knew we have a nice cross-section. So I would actually be interested to hear your ideas, your thoughts. Until then, my name is Silver Bullet John.
My name is Evergraying Dave.
I'm looking forward to seeing that happening and talking to you again next week. Goodbye.
See you then.